Hello, and welcome to the Dance Physio Podcast, a podcast designed to explore ideas and foster discussion around dancer health and wellness. We're here to challenge the status quo, bridge the gap between dance science and the studio, and help change the landscape of the dance industry for the better. I'm your host, Erica Mayall, a dancer turned physiotherapist who is deeply passionate about leaving the dance world better than I found it. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Dance Physio Podcast. Today, we are going to dive into the topic of regulation within the dance industry. And I'm just going to touch on sort of one aspect of it, or like maybe like an introduction of regulation within the dance industry, or in this case, really lack of regulation within the dance industry. But I just want to sort of preface this by saying, like, this is a massive topic. There's a lot of nuance to this topic, and there's a lot of different things at play and coming at it from different lenses and things like that. So this is likely a conversation that will be continued on in episodes into the future, looking at like different lenses and aspects of regulation within the dance industry. But it's come up a little bit recently. And so I just wanted to touch on it and sort of give a little bit of a background or just a little bit of an introduction into regulation within the dance industry. Before we fully dive in, I will just also say that this information, or like the lens that I'm coming at this from, is from like where I am locally in the world. So I am in Vancouver, Canada, and a lot of what I will sort of speak to is pretty commonplace across all of Canada, as far as I'm aware, and I think is very similar within the US. I know that in other places in the world, things are slightly different when it comes to kind of regulation within the dance industry. So I might highlight those a little bit, but just like if you're listening and you are somewhere else in the world, it may not be exactly the same where you are, but this information is certainly relevant to people mostly within North America and definitely sort of within Canada. So the reason I wanted to talk about this today, and actually I've chatted about this before through like social media, and I've done like an Instagram live in the past with Lindsay from the Movement Project about this, and it was kind of a topic that was maybe about a year ago or so that was sort of like in the forefront. There was a lot of discussion around, and it was something that I was like, okay, we're going to need to like continue this conversation and continue to dive into this. And it's something that I've been pretty passionate about for a long time, because I truly believe that regulation is one of, if not the first step that's necessary when we are actually looking at safeguarding and like protecting the health and wellness of dancers. And the fact that we do not have regulation within the dance industry is one of the biggest reasons why we see so much problematic, I don't know if behavior is the right word, but problematic practices when it comes to protecting dancers' health and wellness. So we'll dive into that a little bit more. But the reason this has kind of popped into my head just like right now recently is my son plays rugby, and that's kind of like the sport that he's in right now. And his rugby club always hosts the other teams when they have like games at their club. And it's kind of like the culture, if people aren't familiar with rugby, that's like very much part of the culture in rugby, is this like culture of hosting afterwards. So his team has a clubhouse, it has like a full kitchen and everything, and we host the other teams. And so this past weekend they had kind of like a little invitational practice and games with another team from the area, and then they invite them all in for like pancake breakfast afterwards, basically. And so we need volunteers within the kitchen of the clubhouse, just like people who are volunteering to make pancakes and hot chocolate and things like that for the kids. And in order to be able to do that, people have to register and sign up with the governing body, which in this case is, well, it's BC Rugby, but it's like through Rugby Canada. So people have to sort of be registered so that they know who is interacting with the children. And in this case, and this certainly goes for people who are like coaching the children and stuff as well, and they have to, you know, have their background checks and screenings and all of that done. But even just to volunteer in the kitchen, there is a certain amount of kind of
I don't want to say regulation in that case, because it's not really regulation, but like people have to register. They have to know who you are. There's an amount of accountability that happens in order to be able to volunteer in that capacity. And I was just chatting with some of the other parents who were volunteering in the kitchen, and, you know, people were just, I don't even know how it came up. I think we were talking about like the platform that you like register your information through or like something like that. And anyway, it just came to light that people were, I don't want to say complaining, but people were sort of like, oh, it's like one more thing on my to-do list of like having to like register and whatever. And I was sort of saying, well, like alternately, we have these activities that have like no regulation whatsoever. And so it really just comes as part of being in a regulated activity. And all the other parents who were volunteering in the kitchen that day were shocked that like dance as an industry doesn't have any regulation. And some of them actually have children who dance, as well as children who are involved in rugby, and they had no idea. And I think that this is a conversation that comes up. I've had this conversation in the clinic before with parents of dancers, where we'll have that same conversation, and parents have no idea that the industry is not regulated. I think a lot of parents assume that it is being run the same as their kid who's participating in gymnastics, or the same as their kid who's participating in soccer or things like that, and that is not the case. So I'll dive into a little bit of like the specifics around this, because I think it's really important for people to understand what that does or does not mean in terms of how the dance industry operates, like again, within BC, but oftentimes I think mostly within Canada and North America as well. So just in terms of like when we're using the word regulation, I think it's really important to understand a little bit about exactly what that means, because regulation is not the same thing as a certification. So I'll often sort of bring up the point of being saying like dance is not regulated, and people will be like, oh, but my teacher is certified in, you know, RAD or ISTD or like one of those syllabus systems. And so they have teaching certifications or teaching qualifications. And a lot of teachers do have those certifications or qualifications, but that is not the same thing as regulation, because those certifications or qualifications are completely voluntary. So those teachers have decided that that's the training, like, system or program that they're going to go through. And that's how they've often like obtained like, yeah, teaching qualifications or things like that. But there is absolutely no requirement for dance teachers to have any of those certifications, because there is no regulation within the industry. So what we mean by regulation is some sort of overarching governing body that essentially oversees the industry and sets out minimum standards. So if we compare this to the sport world, our sporting organizations, or they're often called like the NSOs or National Sport Organizations, and again, this is in Canada, so that would be like Hockey Canada, Soccer Canada, Rugby Canada, Gymnastics Canada, Cheer Canada, whatever the organization is, they are a governing body that oversees that sport all across the country. And then provincially, there are provincial branches of those governing bodies, but they have to operate under like the rules and bylaws of these national organizations. Now, I will say that I know that there are huge issues within some of our NSOs in the country. And if anybody follows sport, and there's been a lot of media around, especially Hockey Canada, there's been media about Soccer Canada. So I know our NSOs are not perfect. And there's definitely been systemic issues that have been happening within those NSOs. However, there is still that structure in place that kind of governs how that sport operates across the country. And with dance, we don't have any sort of overarching organization. So there is no requirement for a dance studio or a dance teacher to be accountable to anyone else. And the vast majority of dance programs that are being delivered across the country are happening in a private business setting. So most dance studios are operated as a private business. And more often than not, the principal teacher at the studio is also the business owner. So it's a teacher who's thought, okay, I'm going to go out, I'm going to open my own studio, and then they bring on other teachers as they grow and things like that. But they are essentially just private businesses. There are dance programs that operate within like more municipal type settings. So if you have dance programs that are being offered out of like a rec center or something like that, and those organizations are going to be governed by the rules within that sort of municipality or like how whatever they're operating out of, whether that be like a community center or a nonprofit art center or something like that. So individually, some of these locations may have some sort of regulation, but in terms of an overarching regulation that is happening either provincially or nationally, that does not exist. Anybody in the world can just go out and open a dance studio tomorrow if they want to. And anytime I say that, I feel like parents are horrified and they're like, what do you mean? Like, I could just go open a dance studio tomorrow? I've never danced in my life. And I'm like, yes, you absolutely could just go open a dance studio tomorrow, having never danced a day in your life. So, like I said, because there's this lack of overarching regulation, anybody, you need like a business license, but that business license, there's nothing in that business license that says you have to have any experience or knowledge of the dance industry whatsoever. So anybody can open a dance studio. Anybody can call themselves a dance teacher because, again, there is no requirement to have any sort of minimum qualifications to become a dance teacher. This is different even than like if we look at like the sports lens. So in order to be a coach within any of those like NSOs or the national sport organizations, there's minimum coaching sort of standards. And if we're looking at really young recreational kids, you know, say we have our five-year-old soccer players and the teams have volunteer parent coaches, the training that they go through is pretty minimal, but they do have to go through a volunteer coaching program in order to be able to do that. So again, there's some sort of oversight. As they go up through the levels or through the ranks, then you're looking at like actually having qualified coaches. And in some cases, there's like international qualifications. So if we look at like soccer, so because we have FIFA as like an international overarching organization, you can have these like coaching licenses that are then recognized internationally. So the like A, I think, not a soccer player, but I'm pretty sure the A license is like the highest level of professional like coaching license that you can get. Anyway, doesn't matter. But there are those sort of qualifications. If we step away from the sports lens, because people will say dance is not sport, and okay, we can make that argument, but even if we then look to something that's like sort of similar to some degree and look more into like the fitness lens, they also, again, it depends a little bit on the setting, but have some sort of regulations often. They don't always have the same amount of regulation. So again, this depends a little bit on jurisdiction because they're similar to dance in that they don't have like national or overarching regulations. But in BC, for instance, like where we are, to be a group fitness instructor, generally you have to have this like minimum qualification that's offered through an organization that's called BCRPA. Anyway, organization doesn't matter. And most places will require fitness instructors to have that certification. Again, because a lot of fitness is being delivered in a private business setting, there's a little bit of like a gray area in there. But for the most part, those certifications are sort of required. And that is different than the dance world, where I actually don't know what the percentages are, and it would be really interesting to like do a survey and find out, but I would not be surprised if easily 50% of teachers teaching within the dance industry do not have any sort of formal certification or qualification, because in dance, traditionally, people will have a career in dance, like grow up through dance, train in dance themselves, maybe go off and dance professionally, and then they'll just become teachers. And so they're teaching background and their teaching knowledge is just based on their own personal experience. Now, again, some of those teachers will go out and do a certification or a qualification, and some of them will not. And I'm not saying that the teachers who don't have any sort of certifications are like less good teachers, because there are some absolutely incredible teachers out there who maybe don't have a formal certification, but this in itself, just like if we look at the industry as a whole, is problematic to me because of this lack of regulation. So it's not so much the lack of certification of teachers, it's the lack of regulation and like it just being sort of like the wild, wild west where anybody can be like, I'm a dance teacher, come dance at my dance studio. And all of us are like, oh, okay, well, they must be a legitimate business because they're advertising themselves as a dance studio. So when we look at certification, or sorry, regulation, I don't necessarily think, at least the first step, is to tie regulation to certification. And I know there's people out there who feel differently than this, but like I said, I think there's really amazing teachers who maybe don't have a formal certification. And conversely, there's teachers who've gone through formal certifications who maybe like aren't the best teachers out there. So certification in it of itself, I don't think is the answer to things, but I do think that regulation and having some sort of governance and overarching regulation is necessary within the dance industry. And really, I think if we want this to be something that's going to like happen and be realistic, it needs to start by being quite basic. I don't think we can come in and try and like develop like a governing body and say, okay, we're going to regulate every aspect of your business. It's never going to happen. There's going to be too many barriers. There's going to be too much resistance. But to me personally, the bare minimum that should be required from a regulation perspective is that teachers and studio owners, like studios, should be required to have a background check done on all employees or people that are interacting with children, and they should have like basic first aid. And to me, those are like the very, very basic minimum. So if we have these, you know, some sort of a governing body that says in order to operate as a dance studio in Canada, you have to be like registered with us or whatever, and you all your employees have to meet these standards, that already would be miles ahead of where we're currently at. Dance is, I think, like the only activity that I know of that kids can participate in that requires no background check. And again, like any other sport that a kid's participating in, even if it's like volunteer run with volunteer parent coaches and things like that, there have been background checks done on those people if there is a governing body. And dance is one of those things. And then like obviously daycare and like things like that are all like heavily regulated in terms of people who are interacting with our children. And dance is completely unregulated. Like there is no requirement for that. And that is not to say that individual businesses do not require that, because I know that a lot of dance studios do require that of their employees, but it is completely up to the individual business. So it is not a requirement of like anywhere else. There's no requirement of that in order to operate your business, but a lot of business owners or studio owners in this case will require that of their staff. And a lot of them do require basic first aid. And a lot of studios will choose to require more than those like bare minimum. So they'll have, you know, like require some sort of teaching certifications for their teachers, or they'll have some sort of like continuing education going on. And so like individual studios are doing a good job of this potentially, but then there's also studios that are not doing a good job of this. And there's just so much opportunity for people to be exploiting children in these settings when there's like absolutely nothing in place in terms of like safeguarding and regulation in through there. So really, I think the point of this podcast, A, is to like raise awareness of the fact that this is unregulated, because especially if you are a parent, and it's often parents that I find are completely unaware of this fact. People within the dance industry know this. Teachers know that like anybody can call themselves a dance teacher or whatever, but parents do not know this. And parents are the ones who are registering their kids in these activities. And I think it's really, really, really important for parents to understand this fact, because in the dance industry, and there's debate about this, there's people who are pro-regulation, and then there's people who are kind of anti-regulation because they think it's going to like, you know, infringe on their rights or whatever. But those people, their argument for it is sometimes like, oh, it's just like up to the parents to do their due diligence and make sure that they're sending their kid to a studio that, you know, is like doing some of this like basic safeguarding stuff. But if parents don't know that that is their responsibility because they don't know that the industry is unregulated, it is unrealistic to expect them to be doing their due diligence. So again, like you can register your kid in swimming lessons or soccer or whatever, and you just know that there is a minimum level of safeguarding that's happened in those activities because of the regulation in those industries. And that is not the same in dance. So in order for parents to do their own due diligence, they need to be aware of this. So I think this podcast episode, like I said, there's so much nuance to regulation within the dance industry, but I really just wanted to like kind of dive into it a tiny bit and make people aware of the reality. And I think that if you are looking at registering your kid in dance, or even if your kid is already, or your dancer, maybe they're not even a kid, but if your dancer is already registered in dance, I don't think it's a bad idea to ask the studio what their policies are. And certainly if you're like looking to switch studios or you're looking to enroll your kid in dance for the first time, I think that parents really should be asking at a minimum, what are the requirements, like what requirements do you have of your teachers? Do you background check all of your employees at the studio? Do you require them to have basic first aid? Do you require them to have mental health first aid? I know some studios that like that is one of the requirements for their teachers, and they do like staff training on those types of things. So again, I don't think that it's up to us to police exactly how these people like run their businesses at this point in time. But I do think parents should be asking the minimum questions. And then I think you can also ask the question of like, what certifications or qualifications do your teachers have? And again, those certifications are not the be all and end all. But if all of the staff has, you know, some amount of certifications and things like that, you may feel slightly more comfortable sending your dancer to a studio like that than a studio where maybe nobody has any background check, any qualification certifications, like things like that. So they're just basic questions that I think parents absolutely have the right to be asking of the studio to know like what the studio's policy is when it comes to things like that, and just for their own sort of peace of mind and to know like where they're sending their dancers. And especially if we have dancers where like they're there, you know, 15, 20 hours a week, that's a lot of time for these dancers to be in an environment that we potentially maybe don't know a whole lot about. And so like these bare minimum questions, I think, are really important for parents to ask, just knowing that there's no other like safety net in the dance industry that is ensuring these minimum standards. It is completely up to the individual business to set whatever their minimum standards are. And I guess, depending on who's listening to this podcast, if you are a studio owner and you haven't thought about this before and potentially haven't like put in place a studio policy, and I think this is common when people start and maybe they started and they were the only teacher at the studio, and then as they've slowly grown, they've added like a teacher here and a teacher there. And so they didn't start out with 20 teachers on their like staff. And so they haven't had these kind of company policies in place. This is maybe a really good time to look at like, what are your policies as a business? What are you requiring from your teachers to make sure that you are providing a safe service to the dancers that you are teaching in your studio every day? So just some food for thought. And like I said, I think more just to raise awareness about this topic, because I'm always surprised when I have conversations with people and they have no idea about the lack of regulation in the dance industry. And I shouldn't be surprised, but I always am, because I think there's just like this inherent assumption that the dance industry is the same as other sports and activities that our kids participate in. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, it's the same as gymnastics, it's the same as cheer, it's the same as those types of activities. But it is not, because those activities are regulated by a governing body. And I will say, cheer's only recently regulated by a national, like an NSO, a national governing body. It's not something that's been around for a really long time. I can't remember what year, but only within the last few years. So it's not as if it's not possible for dance to get there, because if we look at things like cheer, for instance, they've only recently introduced an NSO. And so I think it's something that is realistic for dance to kind of go down that route. But, you know, it's going to take time and it's not going to happen all at once. And like I said, I think really it starts out with just being like the bare minimum in terms of really just requiring background checks and things like that. In an ideal world, it would be amazing if we got to the point where there was minimum standards for teachers, where they had to undergo a certain amount of training in different areas and really understand like child development and like topics like that. But right now, that's like probably too ambitious. And I do think just the bare minimum of making sure that we are regulating those businesses at a very basic level in terms of background checks and things like that would be really a lot more than what is currently happening right now. So I will wrap things up there. Like I said, I think the point of today's podcast really was just to raise awareness of this topic. If you, especially if you're a dance parent and you have other dance parent friends, but even if you're a teacher or a studio owner or whoever you are, and you think that there are people out there who maybe are not aware of the fact that there is not regulation within the dance industry, I would love it if you shared this podcast episode with them, because I think the more that we can just make people aware of this fact so that people know that it is up to them and their responsibility to do their own kind of background checking and due diligence and all of that type of thing, I think that that will really at least be a trend in the right direction. So I would love it if you would share today's podcast episode. If you have questions, concerns, like I said, I'm sure there will be many more podcast episodes on different nuances of this whole regulation discussion coming up. If there's a particular angle of it you want me to dive into, let me know. It's like something I'm really passionate about, because I truly do think it's the basis for really changing the landscape of dancer health and wellness. So I would love for you to reach out. You can reach me on social media at Dance Physio Erica, or you can email me. My email is in the show notes. And once again, thank you so, so much for being here. I really appreciate your support, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.